does in our life. I know that there are people in this room and in Lincoln and in South County that have experienced defeat. I know this to be true because I know I have experienced defeat. But the power of the resurrection, that in that song, it reminds us that that's why there is power in the resurrection, is to bring us out of those defeat and to actually give us life. And wasn't that a powerful story hearing from James? And what the power of the resurrection has done in his own life. And that's our prayer, that he will do this in your life today. You guys can have a seat. Well, for those who don't know, my name is Rick, and I get to be the lead pastor here, and we are so grateful. We really are. We're so grateful for you, Lincoln, and for all those who have shown up there, for all of those who are down in South County. Thank you for being there, and for those of you who are here in this room. Thank you for being here. And if you are new or newer, we really do hope that you'll use that connection card. And that way we can get connected to you. If you're in Lincoln and South County, there are hosts there who would love to connect with you personally. And if you are newer here, I'm going to be outside under the portico after this service. And I'd love, if you have time, I know you have Easter plans, but if you just have time to introduce yourself, I'd love to meet you today. Well, we are wrapping up our teaching series. We've been going through this letter that Paul wrote to a people in the city of Corinth. And this letter is found in your Bible. And if you have your Bible, we hope that you'll open it and take it and go to 1 Corinthians chapter 15. That's where we're going to be today. This series, as we wrap it up, is that it's more than music. That worship is more than just music. It's a holistic way to live our life. Worship is our response to God showering His grace upon us. And it's worship is where God occupies your heart, your soul, and your mind. And you can go to school and worship. You can go to work and worship. You, wherever you go, you can be living from that posture of worship. And today, I'm going to make a pretty bold statement. And here's our statement. Our worship hinges on one single event in history: the resurrection. Our worship actually hinges on one single event, not on what you believe about the Bible, not on what you believe about how the earth was started and formed, on whether or not you believe in a literal six-day creation. Our worship actually hinges on a single event that happened in history: the resurrection. And today, as we think about this resurrection, I want us to think and remember that before there was ever a resurrection, there was a betrayal. Before there was ever a resurrection, there was a trial. Before the resurrection ever happened, there was a crucifixion. And before the resurrection ever came to be, there were 3 long days of just silence. What seemed like a defeat was actually God working a victory. And I want us to think about how the resurrection actually plays out in our everyday life. And here's how I want to do this. I want to pose this question to you. How do we turn our defeats into defining moments? The resurrection was definitely a defining moment, a place, a time, an event that took place in history. And we all have these defeats in our life. Think about some of those defeats that actually was a defining moment in your life. Just go back to when you were young and you were learning how to ride a two-wheeler, a bicycle. Do you remember that? I do. In fact, I was in kindergarten. I can remember my address. It was 31 South 16th Street in Richmond, Indiana. It was the only time we ever lived like in the city. And we had an alley behind us. And I remember in kindergarten going to my dad and saying, "Dad, I'm a big boy now. Take my training wheels off my bike." And my dad did. And he put me on there. And he would run behind me as I would pedal as fast as I could in that alley. But then I would crash. And I would knock the wind out of myself. He would get me back up and he'd say, "Let's try it again." And I would go again. And this time I would skin up my knees. But then there came that day on that Saturday when my dad would run behind me and he'd let me go. And finally, I did it. I overcame the defeat. And man, in kindergarten, I was terrorizing the neighborhood on my bicycle, going everywhere. And then when I was in first grade, we moved out into the middle of nowhere, Modoc, Indiana. I've shared this with you. In fact, I shared this story with you not too long ago about when I was 10 and my dad shows up on my birthday with a horse, but the horse was never broken. And so it was my grandfather who had worked on a horse farm. It was him who would come over and work with me on how to break my horse. And then there was that defeating moment when we actually put the saddle on him. And there on the saddle, on the track, all of a sudden he takes off and starts bucking. And the saddle breaks and off I go onto the ground, bleeding, out of breath, snot coming out of my nose. And I'm looking at that horse and my grandfather says, "Get back on the horse." And I look at my dad with all this fear in my eyes. But that was a defining moment to get back on that horse, to overcome the fear that I had. So I got back on the horse. I remember a defining moment in my prayer life, and you've had these, that time when God showed up and there's no other explanation. I was praying about, God, what college do you really want me to go to? I had realized I had just graduated, and now it was time. I've got to make this decision, this final decision. I had already had plans going to this one college. And it was a Sunday night. And I'm like, "God, I have to know by Friday." And you know what? Monday came and went, and I heard nothing. Tuesday came and went, nothing. Wednesday, the same thing. Thursday, the same thing. And I'm begging God, please show me. I just want to go where you want me to go. And then, only like God can do, when I was defeated, I was discouraged. I remember it was the end of the day on Friday. It was literally the 11th hour. And then they're right there in front of me, exactly how I had prayed. God showed me at that stoplight. There was no indecision. There wasn't, "Oh, maybe this is it." No, it was very clear. All blue, Michigan license plates. I know I'm going. And I lived in the state of Rhode Island at the time. It was very clear where I was to go to college. Defining moment. I was defeated. But then a defining moment came. As a parent, you've had these moments of defeats. As a parent, you know, I've got four kids. They're all young adults now. But at one time, three of our kids were all teenagers spread throughout that teenage span. Yeah, some of you know. You feel my pain already, don't you? I would feel like a loser parent. You know, and at the time, here I am, a youth pastor, working with the students, thinking, you know, that I knew how to do this. I didn't have a clue. And then I remember being broken, thinking, "What have I done? How did I get this wrong?" And God just tapping me on the shoulder and reminded me of His agape love for me. Remember what Justin taught last week? It was God tapping me on the shoulder about that unconditional love. Not because they were performing in some way. And Rick, the same way I loved you, you just keep on loving your kids in the same way. These times of defeat in our life is actually an opportunity for the power of the resurrection to bring life into them. Turning a defeat into a defining moment doesn't always feel like victory. It didn't feel like a victory for those long 3 Jewish days of silence. Those disciples hiding after they had put Jesus in a tomb. They're confused. They're disturbed. They're thinking they're next. They're thinking defeat has come. We have put our faith in somebody who told us they were the Messiah. And now they're dead. What are we going to do? And in the same way in your life, your defeat doesn't always feel like a victory. But if you give it time, and if you continue to bring it to Jesus, and let the power of the resurrection actually bring life to your defeat, it can actually change the way that you live. We're going to be all over the place in 1 Corinthians chapter 15. We're going to start in verse number 36. The whole chapter is about resurrection. And Paul is just addressing this at all different ways. But I want us to jump to verse 36 because of how he addresses this idea of resurrection. They ask a question. The people at Corinth are saying, hey, what about the resurrection of our bodies? What's that going to be like? And look what Paul, don't you love Paul? Look what Paul says. He says, that's a foolish question. You know how a good teacher is like, oh, there's no bad question. You know, not Paul. He's like, dude, that is the dumbest question I've ever heard, right? He's like, when you put a seed into the ground, it doesn't grow into a plant unless it dies first. Think about that for a moment. Your defeat has the possibility to actually grow into something that brings life, just like a seed does. He goes on. Paul says, what you put in the ground is not the plant that will grow, but only a bare seed of wheat or whatever you are planting. Kids, have you guys, kids, listen, have you ever planted a seed and then you watered it and you went out the next day thinking, where is the strawberry, right? You're looking for the strawberry. And there was nothing. There was this dirt. And you're like, come on, mom and dad, where's the strawberry? Where's this thing? It was supposed to grow a corn stalk. Where's the corn? And it's like not happening. And you water it again, the sun comes out, and that goes on for maybe 5 to 7 days, and there's like nothing, and you're thinking, you know, this is useless, right? But then all of a sudden on that one day, when you do go out there and you check on it, kids remember this, adults remember this, you go out and check on it, and then that little green blade started to pop through the dirt. Isn't that? That was like, oh my gosh, there is life in there. But you know what Paul is saying? He's saying before there can ever be victory, there has to be death. Before there can ever be victory, there's got to be a defeat. And there you put that seed in the ground, you bury it, and you think it's done with, but no, one day it springs forth and brings forth life. And it's a process. It's a process. If you're trying to grow a strawberry, that's a process that takes time to happen. And the same thing with your defeats. Your defeat, it's going to take time for God to actually breathe life into that. Again, that's the power of the resurrection. And look what he says. He slide down a little bit further in verse 43. And he says, our bodies are buried in brokenness. Why? Because we are born into a broken world because of sin. And we bear the marks of brokenness in our bodies. But he says, but they will be raised in glory. The power of the resurrection. They are buried in weakness, but they will be raised in strength. You and I have brokenness and you. We are weak, but because the power of the resurrection, because of the power of the resurrection, life can actually come from it. Your defeat, the same thing is true in your defeats. The same thing can happen. In your defeated moments, God can actually bring life into those moments of defeat. It's the gospel that takes our brokenness, our weakness, and turns them into strengths. Now, if you back up to the beginning of the chapter, look what he does in verse number 3. He spells out, he gives to us the gospel in a very succinct way. The gospel is the good news, and here's how he explains it. Paul says, I passed on to you people at Corinth what was most important. Here's what he's saying. Here's the most important thing. If you don't walk away with anything else, walk away with this. Here's the most important thing. What has already been passed to me, Christ died for our sins, just as the scripture said. And don't forget, Paul. It wasn't like Paul had the Bible. He's referring to the Old Testament scripture. So what was prophesied about a Messiah coming, he's saying that happened in the person of Jesus, that he was actually an eyewitness to of all that had happened, all these events. So he says Christ died for our sins, just as the scriptures said. He was buried. Jesus was buried. And he was raised from the dead on the third day, just as the scriptures said. Just as the Old Testament had said, as the Old Testament had pointed to what was going to happen in the future, what the Messiah would look like, why he would come. Paul's saying it's all true. You can trust this. Jesus himself, there came a point when Jesus, when he was walking on this earth, there came a point in those disciples' lives where he just started telling them plainly. In fact, listen to Jesus' very words as Matthew, eyewitness, there with Jesus as he writes this down. He says, from then on, Jesus began to tell us, his disciples, plainly that it was necessary for him to go to Jerusalem. And that he would suffer many terrible things at the hands of the elders, the leading priests, and the teachers of the religious law. And that he would be killed. Jesus predicted his own death. But not just that. He predicted his own death, that he would be killed, but on the third day that he would be raised from the dead. Jesus predicted this about himself. That this would actually happen. And then Paul backs it up. Look what Paul does back in our text in 1 Corinthians 15. Paul says this, that Jesus was seen by Peter. Now, everybody that he's talking to knew who Peter was and is, and they had his address. They could show up at his door. They could shoot him a text and say, Peter, is this really? Paul's here in Corinth saying that there's this guy named Jesus, and he really did, like that you saw him as an eyewitness. He's like, Peter's the guy. He saw him. And then the other apostles, that's what the 12 means, the other apostles saw him after his death. And then if that's not enough, Paul goes on and he writes. He says, after that, he was seen by more than 500 of his followers at one time, most of whom are still alive, though some have died. And then he was seen by James and later by all the apostles. Now just stop and think about that. If you have ever dealt with grief, like deep grief, it's possible that you could have thought you saw something that you maybe really didn't see. That's possible. That's happened. That's been recorded. But never, never in history will you ever find a hallucination of 500 people all at one time. And Paul's making this clear. This wasn't like these followers of Jesus were in such deep agony and deep grief. They were overwhelmed. They couldn't believe it. And they hallucinated and thought they saw Jesus. No, Paul says, no, Jesus appeared to them all at one time. 500 people. In fact, again, he tells them, if you don't believe me, go follow up with them. Some of them have died, but some of them are still alive. Go check it out for yourself. That's the power of the resurrection. That's we have this. In fact, the Old Testament prophesied that there was going to be a coming Messiah who would die and who would rise on the third day. This is something that we can trust in. History documents Jesus' life, and Jesus himself said that I'm going to die for the sins of the world and then be raised again on the third day. Again, Jesus documented this himself with his very words, and then Jesus claimed to be that very Messiah. Jesus' death and resurrection is well documented. It is a fact that in the point in history, there was a pin dropped at the death and the burial and the resurrection of Jesus Christ that changed everything. Now, everybody dies, but not everybody rises again. Again, that's the power of the resurrection, that Jesus can actually have victory over death. Now, if this wasn't the case, Paul said, if Christ has not been raised, then your faith is useless and you are still guilty of your sins. That's why our worship hinges on this single event in history. Because if that wasn't true, if the resurrection wasn't true, then we would still be guilty of our sins. And you heard already this morning a personal testimony from James of the power of the resurrection and how that has changed his life. And Jesus wants to change your life just like that. It was the single event in history, the resurrection, that makes it possible for us to turn our defeats into victory. What defeat are you carrying right now that Jesus actually wants to breathe life into? He wants to actually restore your relationship. He wants to restore your marriage. He actually wants to make a change in your life if you'll just allow the power of the resurrection to do that. Will you do that? Will you allow that to happen in your life? That's why Paul, he sums up this chapter with these words. He says, when our dying bodies have been transformed into new bodies that will never die, this scripture will be fulfilled. And then he quotes two different prophets, Isaiah and Hosea. And he says, death is swallowed up in victory. Why? Because of the power of the resurrection. He says, oh, death, where is your victory? Oh, death, where is your sting? Now, he does say this. He says, for sin is the sting that results in death, and the law gives sin its power. So he's not saying that our defeats aren't going to sting. Oh, they're going to sting. It's going to hurt. But there's hope. There is hope for whatever seems like defeat in your life. There is hope for you. Again, because of the power of the resurrection, because the resurrection brought life, He can bring life and healing and restoration to your defeat. And that's why He says this. But thank God, God gives us victory over sin and death through our Lord Jesus Christ. We have power over the sting, even the hard times of what death, of what sin causes in our life. I want you to listen this morning to Nancy Porter. Nancy Porter is one of our partners here. Back in December, Nancy lost her husband. Many of you know Joe Porter. Joe Porter had got COVID, ended up in the ICU, and then ended up passing away. And he was strong. There was no underlying conditions in Joe. But listen, as Nancy, does the death hurt? Absolutely. Listen to how Nancy describes the sting. As she describes the new firsts for her after decades of marriage, now there's these firsts for her. And listen.
It was so quick, really. We didn't get to say goodbye to him. You know, I was stuck in the house. He supposedly had COVID. He died 5 days after my birthday. And we had Christmas to face, you know, the whole bunch of things thrown right at us, you know, when he died. The first holiday was Christmas. You know, my birthday, I turned 80. And, you know, so that was, you know, there's a lot of firsts coming up, you know. So it's not easy, but God's there every step of the way. It's just a prayer away. Oh, it was the pneumatic God. That's what really set him afire, I would say, with God. God used that to really put a fire in his heart for God and tell everybody about him, you know. And we miss, you know, I miss a lot of the sayings he used to say around here in his stories, you know, and plus the pneumatic God stories. He'd go out someplace and come back usually with a story, you know. And he just was a all-around good, faithful, loving God person, you know, and God used him. And hopefully his grandchildren can draw from that and will come to have their walk with the Lord is what I want. And I just go on every day. I get up every day and ask for God's grace and strength. And, you know, it's just relying on God, really. It's not easy. And there's days I really don't want to go on, but you got to get up and go on. That's the key to going on. You know, I continued with my life, going to church, teaching, and, you know, watching kids. God is good, even when we don't think he is. He does show up every day, and you got to realize our problems are not our problems. They're God's problems, and you got to just pray every day and ask God to get you through. Well, it's always the one about the 94-year-old veteran that he met in the Home Depot. I think that really was at the sort of towards the beginning of using the cards, and that's what God used to encourage him, you know. Because he had that type of personality, you know. I remind God, I'm not Joe. Use me in the way you want to use me, you know. And he has a purpose for all of us. We just have to seek it, you know. I hope it'll encourage them that no matter what age you are, even an older person, you can be used to God. He's never done with you until he's done with you and you're going to heaven, really. God's good. God is blessed. And I just keep looking up. I sit in this room and I sit over there on the chair and look up to the heavens and just, you know, find the strength to go on. You need his grace to get through each day. And then we'll have, you know, if you put your faith and trust in him, we'll have a home in heaven where a lot of our loved ones that have done that are there waiting for us, you know, and Jesus. You get to, as my youngest grandson says, you'll get to walk on streets of gold and live in a mansion that God has prepared. John 16:22 says, you have sorrow now, but you will see me again.
See, that's the power of the resurrection, and Joe lived with that. That's why he was in Home Depot telling the 94-year-old that they mattered to God. And right there in Home Depot aisle, he got to pray with that war veteran to receive Jesus as their Savior. See, that's the power of the resurrection. God can meet you in Home Depot. He can meet you right here in the church. Have you received the power of the resurrection? And have you made it personal for you? You heard James share earlier that no one can talk you into it, that it has to be a decision that you personally make. Have you personally made that decision? And see, when you do make that decision for yourself, then Paul sums up this chapter. He says, so my dear brothers and sisters, be strong and immovable. You know how Nancy is able to continue on day after day, week after week, without her partner for life? It's because she has the hope and the power of the resurrection. She knows where Joe is, and she knows where she will be one day, there together, worshiping Jesus together. Be strong and immovable. Always work enthusiastically for the Lord. Now think about this. Remember, worship is in every area of our life. Worship is holistic. It's bringing your whole life. And always work enthusiastically for the Lord. For you know that nothing you do for the Lord is ever useless. When we live from a posture of worship because of the response to grace in our life, we can be strong and immovable, and we can do it with a spring in our step. We can do it enthusiastically. That's what Paul is calling us to do and to live in this way. And if you, wherever you are, would you grab that connection card that's inside the bulletin? And I just want to walk through these next steps. If you're online, there's a connection card link. The next steps are there. But I want us all to read these together. It says, the very first next step says, I need a fresh start that begins with Jesus. I want today to be that defining moment. I receive Jesus as my Savior. If you have never placed your faith and your trust in the person of Jesus, this is your very first next step. If you're ever going to overcome your defeat, it's going to be because of the power of the resurrection. And it starts personally with you and where you place your faith. Will you place your faith in the power of the resurrection? We hope so. We've been praying for you. And if you'll indicate that on the connection card, we would love to have a conversation with you and pray with you. If it's easier for you to use your phone and just text, text the keyword trust. Text that to our texting number, 401-496-9710. And you're going to get an instant reply when you do that. When you get that instant reply, click on the link. And that's where you give us your name. And that's how we'll be able to reach out to you. We are praying for you, and I trust that you'll take that step. For others, maybe your next step is, I've been living from my failures. I need God to redeem my defeats and give me a fresh start. Today, on this Resurrection Sunday, could be the beginning of a fresh start for you. You could have a whole new perspective about the defeat that you are feeling, about the defeat that you are going through, the crisis that you are in. You could allow Jesus actually to bring life into that defeat. Will you pray? Will you let us pray? When our team gathers on Tuesday, we pray for each one of these. You can be as specific or as, you know, nebulous as you want, but let us pray for you. And let's see what God can do. And then, this is for everybody. If you're online, if you're in Lincoln or South County, right here in this room, please, we're asking you, will you help us bring God's redemption by serving with Hope Church on May 14th? Will you mark this on your calendar? May 14th, it's a Saturday. We are going to show up in Wakefield. We're working with a point person there in Wakefield who happens to know lots of need in Wakefield. That's our South County area. And we're going to show up in South County, and we want to show up. Demonstrating God's redemption for how He loves people. Here's what we're going to be doing. This gentleman is helping find homes, elderly people who are homeowners who just can't keep up their yard or have minor repairs around their house. And we want to show up as Hope Church and just flood that area with, hey, we're here to help. We're here to demonstrate how much God loves you, and we want you to be a part of it. Won't you be a part of it? Will you indicate it by checking that off on your connection card and just committing to be there? Again, that's May 14th, and we would love to have you come and be a part of that. If we can just pray for you in any way, go back to our texting number. If you can use the connection card or you can text us, and we would love to be praying for you. As we think about all that God has done through the power of the resurrection, I wonder if we can stand this morning and let's respond with this song called I Thank God. Let's declare this with our words that we thank God for what He has done.